Sorry. Obviously, Scheife did a little bit of battle stuff after practice yesterday and shed the non-contact today. Or how's his progress?
Yeah, well, today is just because there was only a handful of guys out there. Wasn't going to be any contact. That's the next step for him, is to get the contact. It'll happen, I think, sometime this week. It might be Monday. That'll be up to the medical and Mark. Once he hits that, and then he has to get through it, probably a couple of days of it. He's not going to have any conditioning curve here, because it's upper body. He's been able to skate, real fit guy, pushes himself real hard. So once he gets through a couple of fairly heavy contact days, then he'll be ready to go. I don't have him for Arizona, but I won't rule out St. Louis yet.
And when he comes back, right back to center, or based on the nature of the upper body injury, would you consider him on the wing, or maybe not taking draws or any of those things? Or
no, he's going to be healthier than that when he goes in. I wouldn't hold him out of any of it. And for a guy that's played one position for so long, I think coming in off injury so that you're in normal spots on the ice, that he'll go back in at center. And then we're taking bribes right now on the staff between him and Wheeler, who they want to play center. The idea that you could move them around is interesting, though. And the opportunity for Mark to get to the right wing for shifts, you'd like to see it. For a bunch of different reasons, when you're trying to close a game out, if he's having a tough night in the middle but you want him on the ice, can he go right wing? So there's some things there that you'd like to see. We've run a fairly close to four-line rotation for the most part this year. There are times when both Wheeler and Scheifele could drop down and play a wing or center position on another line to maybe get a few more minutes if you were behind it in a game. So, but no, Mark will go in at center.
Speaking of centers, what's the latest with Adam Lowry?
So re-aggravation, he was cleared 100%, got through the first game, no problem. It's not significant as the last one. He's not in tonight. I'm not going to rule him out for Arizona, but I'm not going to list him as probable for there either. I don't know is the answer, but he doesn't go tonight.
Is that something you have to be a little bit more careful now that he has re-aggravated?
No, you know what? He got to range of motion and strength that he's in a range where he felt like you. And like I said, he got through the first game and threw some hits and felt fine. You know, it was just an unfortunate situation where he got into a bunch of bumping again, which is part of his style of play. When he gets back to that kind of, he was at full strength, full range of motion, away you go. When he gets back to that, he'll go back in.
Just on the third pairing, Kulikov looks like he'll play on his offside. Yep. How'd you come to that decision? And obviously he said he was comfortable there. Obviously
yeah.
You are as well.
I watched every shift he played in Buffalo, and he played a big chunk on the right side, and I liked him on the right side. It was something that we had talked about right from the start of the year before we even know where he fits and how he and Myers would have played together. We like where Morrissey and Myers have taken their game. He's going to play left and right here tonight. And you know, both Benny and Tucker, I liked their games an awful lot. I thought Benny played really well, really physical, so it wasn't a negative. I would have had a hard time taking Benny out based on the way he played.
Can you see a scenario where Kulikov bumps up with Bufflin too?
Yeah, I think you can see him play with everybody here tonight, right? You go back with Myers at times, coming off of power plays. You've got the two righties that run the power play. He can get out there with Mo too. So he's going to play with a bunch of different guys at times here.
Paul, have you seen a shift in how overtime is played?
Yes.
In this league? What has been this shift? That shift?
I think teams are, because of the, it was very exciting and everybody tried everything. And what I mean is, if there was even a close to an offensive play, passes were going through, and then you start to look at the statistics of where the lateral passes in the offensive zone can be very dangerous. So you're starting to see that disappear now, and they're far more patient with their offensive game. I mean, we had, we've seen scrums in games where you've got two or three guys actually battling pucks on the walls now. Not so much in terms of personnel. I think everybody's still running the same guys. But it's a more patient game.
Defensive? More defensive? Or
I would say, no, I would say more defensive with the puck. A lower risk game. There are fewer things being fit in. When you look at the first two or three losses that we had in overtime, there was some risk to what we did with the puck, and they just countered on us and scored. You're seeing less and less of that.
Finding a good way to change on the fly is also a big problem, isn't it?
Well, that always has been there, right? Dragging it back. They did a marvelous job of getting five guys on the ice actually at one time without too many men on the ice called. So finding a way to get away with it might be the key piece.
Nathan MacKinnon, I know the sample size is small. How does his absence change the way you play them and the way they play?
No, it changes them like Scheif changes us, right? That's another real strong offensive weapon. So their game hasn't changed. Their game in Edmonton was powerful. They scored goals. They looked good. They dominated at times in that game. So they've looked like you just one less kind of finisher out there, one less play creator, but a good player goes in. So it's a big hole to fill. It can be done. You look at any of the teams that have lost an A centerman, LA, right? They're Anaheim. There's a cost to it for sure. More, I think, over time, not necessarily in any one game, right? The players that they'll put in and get more ice time are good players. But they're just, you could say they're not as dangerous over a 15-game period, right? But to say they're not as dangerous going into a night game is foolish. They score more goals than we do. Right. We like our offensive team. If you ask most people in Winnipeg, man, we got some talent, we got some skill. Agreed. They score more than we do. So did Tampa. So does Vegas. So we're seeing a style of team coming in after the breaks, very powerful, and we're going to have to be right on.
One last thing for me. Nick Ehlers, can you give us a sort of big picture evaluation of him, not only this year, but like is he? We asked him today about his progression, and he seemed to be happy about it. Except he says he has to remind himself constantly about the defensive end of it. Where do you see him at?
Yeah, in his last month, he's been fantastic at it. So when Mark goes down, the bench changes, how the bench gets run changes, who comes off the bench against certain players. So Brian Little's line kind of has fallen into plan in a lot of nights against the other team's best, certainly on the road. And he's been, let's try not to exaggerate this too much. He's been fantastic. Relative to where he was, but even on just non-relative terms, he'd been very, very effective in the defensive parts of the game. So he's not putting the puck in the net quite as much. I'm not worried about the line is winning. The line is scoring. Matty Perreault's got a nice run of points going into the last game. Brian Little's doing some scoring for us, so he's all part of that. He, I'm sure, would like to have finished on a few of those chances that he gets. But what he's paid to do is help the Winnipeg Jets win. And it's like almost from the time Mark went down, his all-around game for me took right off. Really happy with where he's at.
He said they're hitting him a little more too, though. You know what's that?
With the puck?
Yeah.
Or with bodies? That's wholly and completely a change in who you play against. Yeah. The difference between playing against their shutdown line or their A line and their A set of defensemen is huge compared to the 5-6 and the bottom end. Now, the bottom end are usually a little bit more physical, but they still got to catch you, right? There's not a lot of big, physical, really fast guys with hands that are playing on the bottom end. Those guys are playing in the top end. So he's playing against the higher caliber. When Mark went down, that line had to take some of that responsibility. I've got Blake playing with some teenagers and 20-year-olds guys, so I find a different matchup for them. So That's why I really like the way Nicky's played, because he's been shutting teams down, helping our hockey club win. And for me, as a line, they've certainly produced enough.
Just one last one. You're 9-2-3 in the 14 games that Mark has been out.
Trade him.
Did you anticipate being as successful
with
him out of the lineup?
No, especially with him and Adam down. Take two of the three centermen that run big minutes out of a lineup, and that's usually a really, really difficult thing. But the reason is because of what Blake's done, right? He's come in from the wing. He's only played a handful of games in the NHL at center, and in parts of the game he's excelled. Like the defensive parts of the game, especially with two young wingers, he's been outstanding. So that's all on what Blake's been able to do for us. He's filled that hole, right?
Hellebuck, good to go?
Yes.
Thanks.